May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, one of the ways we remember things is simply to repeat them over and over and over again. I still remember my locker combination from junior high school. Coming out of sixth grade into the seventh grade at Southeast Junior High in Iowa City, Iowa, I had this horrible vision of my first day as a seventh grader going to school, first time I've ever had a locker to deal with, and standing there in the hallway and twisting that little dial around and not being able to get in my locker, and everybody's going to be around laughing at me, and I'll be the laughing stock of the school. Great way to start off seventh grade. So days before, we had some kind of an orientation, and then we got our locker combinations, and days before, I was just reciting that combination over and over and over again, 5-11-33, 5-11-33, 5-11-33, and now I can't forget it. It's just funny how we remember those little things in life, isn't it? When I worked at a Dairy Queen, we would make this we would make these little slushies, you know, with the little syrup, the flavored syrup you put in, and customers would ask, what flavors do you have? And I went through this so many times, and I still do it. You know, we have grape, orange, lemon, lemon, lime, raspberry, cherry, root beer, suicide, and citrus. And those things really just stick with you, those things that you've repeated over and over and over again. I hope we're all just as good as remembering the catechism. I remember when I was learning the catechism, I would do the same thing. I would just repeat it over and over and over again until I felt confident about it. And I felt a lot of extra pressure because my pastor happened to also to be my dad. And so I really had to perform. And you probably used that method too a number of times in your life. In Psalm 136, God seems to have his people doing very much the same thing. Psalm 136 has 26 verses, and the first half of each verse is this little statement about something God has done. You know, he created the heavens and the water and the stars, and then he saved his people out of Egypt, and he parted the waters of the Red Sea, and he struck down kings, and he gave Israel the promised land as its inheritance. But then the second half of each of those 26 verses is exactly the same. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. In case you didn't catch it, we're going to say it another 23 times. His steadfast love endures forever. And over, the people would repeat this phrase until they couldn't forget it, even if they wanted to. So this steadfast love of God must be pretty important for us to remember, which explains perhaps why the Hebrew word for steadfast love, chesed, shows up 248 times in the Old Testament. It is a word that is packed with meaning. It can be translated steadfast love, as in Psalm 136, and as in our text for tonight, he remembered his chesed, he remembered his steadfast love. But it is also translated in English Bibles as mercy, loving kindness, goodness. And there is so much meaning packed into that little word that we cannot find just one English word to express the full breadth of the meaning of that word, which I suppose is entirely appropriate because there's no way for us to express the full breadth of God's love either. And so we do the best we can. And we translate that word steadfast love. Steadfast love. God remembers his steadfast love so that the ends of the earth may see his salvation. And since there are so many English words that can be used to translate that one Hebrew word, some of our English Bibles reserve the translation steadfast love to describe God's love and his love alone. which I guess makes sense because only God's love truly is steadfast. And then these English Bibles will use other translations of that word when it refers to our love, like when our chesed for God, our love for God, or our love for one another. And I think that's a really smart translation decision, because let's face it, as those who have been infected by sin, steadfast love is not exactly our strong suit. Our brand of love is very often fickle, and it's wavering, it's unreliable, or think of any other antonym of steadfast. And then Proverbs just comes right out and says it. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man proclaims his chesed, many a man proclaims his steadfast love, but who can find a faithful man? Suggesting, of course, that steadfast love is very hard to come by in the human family. And then Isaiah 40, verse 6 says, all flesh is grass, and all of its beauty is like the flower of the field. And in that verse, the word beauty is that same Hebrew word, chesed, which is sometimes translated steadfast love, suggesting that love in this world is about as steadfast as a flower that sprouts up quickly and then just as quickly fades and wilts away. But that's how love is among us. As a human family, we have forgotten God's steadfast love, and we have lost sight of his salvation. And so we do not have those things to draw strength from for our love for each other. And then we hurt each other, and we fail each other, forgetting the steadfast love of God. The love of spouses grows cold despite the pledge they have made, and they flee into the arms of another. Forgetting the steadfast love of God, the love of church members sometimes grows cold because someone said something, or someone took a different position at a voters' meeting, and the conversation got a little intense, and now all of a sudden the bonds of Christian fellowship have been broken. Forgetting the steadfast love of God, children will sometimes grow cold toward in their love to their parents, and they will rebel and take the prodigal's path just to stick it to their parents. Forgetting the steadfast love of God, the love of friends often grows cold when politics or money or jealousy pulls them apart. We have a hard time with steadfast love. And that failure of love is the bitter taste of sin in our world and in our lives, because at its essence, sin is the failure of love. It's the failure of love in our families and in our communities, and sometimes, yes, even in our church. Now, thank God that once in a while in this world we do see some examples of steadfast love, or something that at least approximates steadfast love. And this kind of love really inspires us and lifts us up, like the couple who's been married for 65 years, and now she is taking care of him in his decline. That is steadfast love, or it's about as close to steadfast love as you're going to get, a love that refuses to give up on the other person. The Bible story I think about when I think about steadfast love between humans is the love that Ruth had for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Remember that? A love that Ruth expressed in these famous words. She said, where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will be buried. And God, deal with me ever so severely if anything but death should ever separate you from me. That is steadfast love. That's as close as it gets to God's love, isn't it, in this world? It's the kind of love that just lifts the heart and inspires us. And yet towering above all of that, towering above the best of love that we have between us, is a love that is in a category all its own. And that's the steadfast love of God that is expressed in the gift of His one and only Son. God remembered His steadfast love, and so He gave His only Son so that the ends of the earth may see His salvation. In the Gospel of John, in the passion narrative of our Lord, all the things that happened to Jesus, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, it all begins with these words, John 13, verse 1. Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. I don't know, but I think that is the very definition, the very epitome of steadfast love, that Jesus loved us to the end. Through all of the indignity and the betrayal, through all of the brutality and the injustice and the spitting and the hitting and the mocking and the suffering and the dying, when He could have stopped it, He loved us to the end. God shows His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine that? A love that lays down its life for its enemies and prays on top of it that they would be forgiven. That is steadfast love in a category that is all its own. And the New Testament word that comes closest, I think, to this idea of steadfast love is the Greek word charis, or grace in English. Another word that is just packed full of meaning. Grace is undeserved love. Grace is love that forgives in response to hurt. Grace is love that prays for enemies and returns good for evil. That's God's love. That is grace. It is a love that endures forever. It is a love that loves us to the end. And by this grace, we are called to faith in Christ. And we have come to believe that and trust in Him for our salvation. We read it tonight. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God. God remembered His steadfast love, and by His grace, the earth now sees His salvation to the ends of the earth. And of course, those words, the ends of the earth, that's a long ways away, right? And that includes a lot of people, so many people we can't even begin to count them, like that throng around the throne in Revelation that can't be numbered. But don't overlook the fact that while that those words to the ends of the earth include such a vast number of people, that it also embraces and includes you. When God remembered His steadfast love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel, He sent His Son. And that love took in you too. It took you in to the bitter end. And by this gospel, He wants all the ends of the world to see His salvation. And this is where we come in. As those who have been loved and those who have received the benefits of His love. It's like we read tonight in that gospel reading, as the good shepherd says, I have other sheep who are not of this fold, and I must bring them in too, and they will hear my voice. But how will they hear His voice? Well, that's you. That's what Jesus said. You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we have to reflect a little bit And we have to ask ourselves, are we being his good witnesses? Are we remembering God's steadfast love, not just up here, but by actually showing and demonstrating steadfast love toward God and toward each other? You know, tonight we spent a fair amount of time talking about the way the Bible uses words and how those words are translated into our language and how some words are hard to translate with just one English word. But having said that, we know what steadfast love looks like. We know steadfast love when we see it. We see it in Christ. We see it in his suffering and death. We see steadfast love in his cross. And we see it here in the church, or we ought to, where the Spirit has called us together. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we have to reflect. You know, do we see this, or if people were to come here among us, or if they were to come into our homes and families, would they see the steadfast love of God among us and through us? Do they see us forgiving each other, even as God in Christ has forgiven us? Would they see us serving each other, even as Christ came not to be served, but to serve and to give himself for others? Would they see us helping each other, even as God has so mightily helped us? Would they see us encouraging each other, even as the Spirit encourages us and nurtures us in our Christian faith? Of all the places on earth, this place of God and your home ought to be those places where people look and say, look at them. That is what steadfast love must look like. I pray that that would be said of me. I hope you pray that would be said of you, that it would be said of us as the church of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Amen.